Dictatorship. He's talking about dictatorship. But I don't know if you're talking about dictatorship. And I also feel that because of the history of the last 100 years, we view dictatorship with a very negative outlook. But historically, from an extremely macro human perspective, could a one leader rule actually be the solution? Like in the case of Genghis Khan, like in the case of, I don't know,
my God,
who else has been one leader who's been epic.
So hello and welcome to another video on the channel. This is a reaction video to something on Beer Biceps YouTube channel. This is a clip from an interview he did with a gentleman known as Rajiv Malhotra. And if you don't know Rajiv Malhotra is the NRI uncle who was a huge fan of Swami Nityananda, the guy who ran away and started his own country, by the way. And he's also been instrumental in promoting superstitious practices like third eye activation and kids and stuff. Right now, I have Meghnad with me and I wanted him to react to this with me because he's also doing something else that is related to beer biceps. We are pointing out things, we are pointing out flaws in people's content because there are flaws there and those flaws need to be addressed. Sure, we get views as a result of it, but that is not the main goal. The main goal, if one of you objecting to this content is a doctor, perhaps, you do get paid for being a doctor, but surely that is not the reason why you're a doctor. Or maybe it is, who knows? maybe you are a doctor because you need to make money.
When we say democracy is good, we say that. I want to offer you a contrarian view. You know, you don't run a company on democracy. Mukesh Ambani doesn't say, I'll take all the factory workers and they will vote what to do. You don't run your cricket team on democracy. The captain decides. It is not ke sare vote karenge, ab kya bowling honi chahiye, kya hona chahiye. I mean, you'd never win if you were democracy.
I think this is an important point to stop at. Like, seconds into the conversation, there's already something problematic.
Itna sara content? Oh my God. No, wait.
What do you think of this argument? That democracy is not useful because it is not universally applicable.
You know, this is a very simplistic thing of looking at things, which I also do a lot of times, right? You know, like, which is to explain how you as a citizen are actually the boss, while the people who are the politicians are actually your employees, right? Because we are paying taxes, right? So, like, yeah. I give the example of, you know, company. Right, when you have like a employee and you are being told to make Excel sheets, you know, like report bana, Excel sheet bana, etc. Now, you do that, right? And then the boss tells you, your report is good, bad, jo bhi hai, whatever. And then that is how you advance or do your work. But in the next day, you come and your boss is standing there with the chai ki ketli. And then he feeds you idli sambar. And then he's giving you a foot massage. And aisa to nahi hota na? Like, I mean, yeah. If you look at that analogy, that is what we are essentially doing to most politicians today, right? Which is like we sort of assume that we are the employees and they are the bosses, but that's the opposite. Yahan pe, I think he's using the same device, right? Which is CEO thodi poochta hai ki kya democracy. He does answer to a board. In a nicely run, legit company, they do answer to a board and they do have to care about their employees. If employees do a strike, that is democracy. That is them expressing their opinion about something they're unhappy about. And they have
also, how valid is it to say that democracy is not useful because CEOs don't use it? It's not useful because armies don't use it.
But like, they do use it, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, the act of democracy, when you reduce it to just voting, right? Hmm. That is what he's talking about. Or cricket team mein thodi koi vote karta hai, right?
So that's how he's doing it. Yeah, he's reducing it to that. Yeah. But there is a thing that's called workplace democracy, where the question raised is that in a democracy, you elect the people who have power over you. Hmm. But at a workplace, you don't, because your superiors are chosen by people superior to them. So it's a top-down thing, not a bottom-up thing. And more people, like, they were making the case for cooperative societies and cooperative society, cooperative workplaces, etc. But that's a different matter. I'm saying it's a bit of a weird flex to say that, you know what, army doesn't have democracy, so the country should not have democracy either.
No, but that's what I'm saying, right? You know, like, when you reduce your entire democratic setup into just the one act of voting in 5 years, right? That is where the problem is. Where even in a company, right, even in a company, the CEO does care about the employees, right? Because that is what is linked to productivity, right? So he will make sure that they are comfortable. They are, you know, like they're getting like compensated whatever amount they can afford. And therefore, they will work to create profits for the shareholders, right? And this guy is answerable to the shareholders. That is in another way a democracy as well. Democracy is when there is a collection of people who are making a decision through someone, right? That is essentially what happens in companies as well. It's, of course, there is more of a top-down approach when it comes to like corporations and even the army. Like generals will tell you what to do, right? But who is telling the generals what to do? It's elected representatives that are from the democracy, right? So that's the point.
It's a far more complex system than he's giving it credit for, is what you're saying. Yep. Okay.
You would not run a military on a democracy. You would not ask all the jawans, you know, what should be our strategy. The military general knows more. So in all these competitive domains, whether it is industry, whether it is sports, whether it is military, it is not run by democracy, but those who have more knowledge, who have more expertise, they make decisions. But in the case of politics, we are assuming that the average Indian, everybody has equal say. The very highly knowledgeable person has as much a vote as the person who knows very little. So that's a, and you know, democracy is also not something that is a Vedic system. We don't have a democracy. The ancient system of Dharma Shastra and Artha Shastra was not based on democracy. It was based on a king who was a noble king, highly educated king. And he knew what is best for other people.
So his first argument was that essentially knowledgeable people take decisions for everyone in all these settings that he said, which is military and whatever, right? And then his next like conclusion from that was that, oh, but in a democracy, when we like have everybody has an equal vote, so not everyone is knowledgeable. So how are you taking decisions on how who to elect?
It's a very elitist, right? Very elitist view of things. Like, those people, they don't know what is good for them. Someone higher up should decide what is good for them. It's a recipe for disaster.
And there is nobody in existence who can know everything except probably an AI. But like, I'm just saying
except
that there
probably
is
probably mythical characters from the Vedas.
Also that, yes.
Yeah.
The king did not know everything. The king was A, probably like line of kings. So like family mein born hua tha. So he didn't have knowledge. He had luck. Right. And that is, I think, you know, like you have to understand the privilege that the king had, you know, during that time. Of course, there were like rebellions and etc. where the generals took over the king. And then they also started their own dynasty, though. After that, they also had children and grandchildren and they were still kings. Right. So they were not knowledgeable. Right. They happened to be at the right place at the right time and applied the right amount of strategies to get something done. That is exactly what army generals also do, right? It is knowledge of the land, of course. It's knowledge of weapons and it's knowledge of what you have with you, the resources that you have, and also knowledge of what the other side has. And then you gather all this knowledge and then you execute to do a particular task, right? So you can't say that everyone, like that argument doesn't make any sense.
I think what he's trying to say is that democracy is too chaotic. You ask everyone as if they know what is good. What
yes,
is
they
good
do.
Can only be... Yeah, no, as in, it is the wisdom of the crowds, etc., etc. Yeah. Democracy is going to be chaotic. Not everyone is going to agree on something. So, Rajiv Malhotra saying this is doubly ironic because he's someone who has written previously in his books, if he indeed wrote them, about anxieties that emerge out of difference. Like the Western mind looks at the Indian situation and finds chaos, is unable to relate to it, and therefore says, this is making me anxious, they must become like me. So what Rajiv Malhotra here is doing is that because he comes from a privileged class of society, A, he's a Brahmin, B, he's an NRI, who's rich in America, by the way, runs an entire organization or something. And he's looking at India and saying, those people don't know what is good for them. There should be one person who knows more than everyone and he should make all the decisions.
To that point, right, you know, and that is where I think an understanding of politics also needs to come in, right? You know, the one thing that you need to understand about Beer Biceps and his sort of brand of politics is this whole simplistic sort of view of what it is, right? Mm. for example, right? He says that, oh, they don't know what they want. Like, no, stupid people don't know what they want is what he's essentially leading towards, right? The thing is, politics, when you think about it, when it's applied on a policy basis, it is first to fulfill basic needs. Food, clothing, shelter, right? You know, like, sabko food, clothing, shelter equally milna chahiye. Justice milna chahiye. You know, like, all laws should be applicable together, right? The making of these rules is what politics is, right? Hmm. The debates and discussions that lead to making of these rules is what politics is, right? So when you say that a person doesn't know what they want, they do, though. You know, like, I mean, like, basic things. Like, I was in West Bengal covering the elections. Even a child who we interviewed, 12-year-old child, knew ki mujhe wahan pe bridge chahiye. Mujhe school jana hai, boss. Like, and mujhe ye boat se nahi jana hai roj. Mujhe, like, or I have to go, like, all the way around and wahan pe mujhe ded ghanta lagta hai jane ke liye, etc. The child knew she wanted a bridge. And she was like, the people who will give me that bridge are politicians. Because they're democratically elected and the election aa raha hai, so let's make this an election issue, was her whole point, right? Again, 12-year-old. So you would assume that she doesn't know anything.
I think Rajiv Malhotra's anxiety is emerging from the fact that when he makes a list of things that are needed, they don't match with the list of things that this child you mentioned might mention. So he'll say, we need to be a dharmic republic of some kind, right? Yeah. And the girl would say, nahi, mere ko bridge chahiye. And he'll say, nahi, clearly these poor people don't know what they want.
Exactly.
What also they like, need.
Things like, you know, like, I know for a fact that a lot of people are saying that tomato bahut mehenge ho gaya hai. Their need is tomato kam hone chahiye, right?
Yeah.
Because tomato khana hai humko. Haan. What sort of genius brain do you need to think this way? Right, yeah. These are basic things that can be addressed by politics and democracy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right,
yeah. That's I would say Rajiv Malhotra's problems are first world problems. Right, he has the perspective of an upper caste rich Indian living in the USA. He's looking at India and he's saying, what do these people know? Someone like me should be has a better handle on what is really needed on a macro level. When democracy is not even about the macro level, it's about many micros coming together to create some kind of temporary macro.
So we have to question whether Indian constitution has worked or not, because Indian constitution also has some issues, I think. You know, a family does not make decisions on a democracy. Some people know more. I mean, some may know more about cooking and what's good for your health, and they make decisions for the children. Somebody else may know more about how to make investments and so on. You do not say, okay, husband, wife, and three kids, and you're going to sit and vote and all that, because people have expertise in something. And that expertise ought to be respected.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It gets darker and darker with time, and you will be blown away by the end of it, I assure you. But about this family point,
household. Yeah.
About this family thing, even the family doesn't work on the basis of input of the leader of the house, right? I think it would be an
interesting thing. Patriarchy family. Patriarchy bhi bahar aa raha hai ekdam se. Umar ke baare.
Ye wo balcony wale cooperative housing society wale WhatsApp group wale uncle wala point of view basically, and it is on so-called India's smartest podcast.
Yeah.
If there was a family where the patriarchal head of the family made every decision for everyone, it would be a toxic hellhole. Absolutely. The child needs to be asked what it needs. The other members of the family need to be asked what they need. And this person needs to be able to make decision on the basis of that. The fact that he thinks a family means one person making all decisions itself is a very, very terrible idea.
And again, like, his whole thing about democracy comes down to, again, what he said, right? Or you vote thodi karte hai koi. But that doesn't make... The voting is not the only way to express your opinion also, right? You know, like, you can, as a child, for example, go to your father and say ki mujhe cricket bat chahiye. Father can make a return demand ki tu na match mein 100 number la, main tujhe de dunga. This is a discussion and debate. It's a negotiation. And once basically he does score maybe 100, right? He can go and demand to the dad saying ki aapne bola tha, ab mujhe do. Right? And then the dad will be like, cool, chal leke aate. And then, or not, or he'll beat him up or whatever, right? But that beat him up scenario is not what you should go for.
It's not the ideal scenario.
Not.
It seems like all these possibilities are there, and this guy saying, wow, he's beating people up. this is the ideal situation we should aspire to.
And this whole thing about expertise, you know, like household mein expertise, koi cooking mein expert hai, koi, you know, like paise kamane mein expert hai.
Gender roles, right? Basically.
Gender roles, right? Again, very WhatsApp level thinking, right? Where it's like, oh, ye defined roles hai, so we should all do that, you know, like whatever it is. Again, the whole thing that I think he is coming out of this clip is that his view is very one-dimensional, right? He doesn't even know that other households exist properly in this.
I'm sure he does. Here's the thing. He would not be where he is today had it not been for democracy and an equal society, right?
Yeah.
Right? He was he's a brown man living in Christian majority country. And he has gotten to where he is because this society had some kind of a commitment towards equality. Had they not had it, had he not been able to assert that, yes, I also deserve to do all the things that people everywhere do. If Saudi Arabia were to be taken as an example, where they do have a top-down system where one family makes all the decisions and everything, this guy in his young age would never have chosen to go there.
Absolutely.
He went to America. Absolutely. He went to a democracy.
Yeah.
So in our tradition also, there was adhikar, authority in the guru or in a elder person who knew more about that subject matter. And so this idea that 1.4 billion people, and based on everybody who's over a certain age, suddenly he has the equal right to everybody else, there's no logic to it. And I think the future of democracies in the world is yet to be, it's not unclear whether what will happen, because United States, which is sort of considered the bastion of democracy today, is in trouble. Internally, United States is in trouble. There's almost a civil war intellectually going on between the extreme left and the extreme right.
Mm. He is in United States.
Yeah.
Left versus right war intellectually. There are two aspects of this. One, he is only able to engage with this on the intellectual level and not on the level of social reality, because right. He doesn't have to deal with it. He's rich there and he's sovereign here. He himself would not be where he is today had it not been for the democratic situation in the USA. And democracy is always going to be chaotic here or there. That is the nature of it. It's going to be every 5 years, people disagree with the people who have power over them and they say, yeah, this guy didn't do that well, or this guy did okay, and we will support him, we'll bring him back to power and stuff.
Yeah, but like I want to like see what he does after this, because he just said that there is a civil war going on intellectually within America. Where
which
he
means
lives.
That's a very fancy way of saying that some people disagree with some people.
Yeah, I mean, and that is what happens
it's
in a democracy, right?
On.
People disagree with everyone intellectually all the time. You don't call it civil war, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, if that's the thing, like, so like, for example, us reacting to this video, which is like maybe different crowds, right? You know, like your following, my following versus Beer Biceps ka following will be very different intellectually, thinking wise, with the ideology wise, all sorts of things, right? If we are disagreeing with each other, are we having a civil war with Beer Biceps now? Is that the logic we are going with here right now?
You realize he mentioned that in our parampara, there has been this idea of adhikar, where the person who knows better makes the decisions.
Right.
So he's basically talking about Brahminical authority here. Because has been the situation.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, that's the thing, right? Brahminical patriarchy, basically. That's what he's talking about.
The whole package, basically.
This whole video is a
gem.
Yeah.
We will talk about this. We'll expand this thought about America in a separate section.
Yes.
I actually want to talk a little bit more about democracy.
Yes.
More from the perspective of, if not democracy, then what? Mm. Because a lot of people are listening to this podcast and thinking, dictatorship! He's talking about dictatorship! But I don't know if you're talking about dictatorship. And I also feel that because of the history of the last 100 years, we view dictatorship with a very negative outlook. But
yes,
historically, from an extremely macro human perspective, could a one leader rule actually be the solution? Like in the case of Genghis Khan, like in the case of, I don't
oh
know,
my God.
Who else has been one leader who's been epic?
Wait, so he should have stopped at like dictatorship is bad. That's it. Yes. Khatam. Don't go with, oh, but... You know, but historically,
Beer Biceps has been on the record saying similar things about Hitler also.
Oh, that's true.
Do
yeah,
we,
I've seen
do
the
we
one
really
of those
know?
Clips.
Are we really? Do we have any idea what was really the truth? Who knows? Maybe the really bad person was not really bad and was really good instead.
Yeah. But the thing is, so Beer Biceps actually got it, right? Like,
he was
pointing towards dictatorship. Yes, Beer Biceps. And so you don't need to make fun of it.
He hears something like this and he says, this sounds like dictatorship. Yes, it does. You're right.
Dude, the thing is here, I think need to point out his style of interview also a little bit, right? Which is when you have someone like this Rajiv fellow, right? Who is clearly pointing towards dictatorship. Right? Unhinged, right? I mean, pointing towards dictatorship. I mean, democracy nahi karna hai, I don't like it, whatever. And then, like, he's just leaving it unsaid, right? So, Beer Biceps comes in and basically, yahan pe sab log bolenge, oh, dictatorship, you know, that's not how you do it, right? You need to be like, do you mean, are you talking about dictatorship? Are you saying it's better, right? And you end it there, right? Yeah. Or you say, you know, historically, we know that dictatorship has led to a lot of people being killed. So dictatorship is bad. So are you saying the alternative to democracy is dictatorship? But then how can it be good? End, right? That is how you ask questions. You don't go like, hey, sab log bolenge dictatorship. That's not...
But the thing is, do you think that the interviews that Beer Biceps does can be classified as... journalistic on any level? This is a podcast at the end of the day.
No, it's not journalistic, but you like, know, there is
on some level I don't even expect it from him.
No, that's the thing, you know, like I also like was thinking that, okay, so he's giving platform to people like this to say whatever they want. There is a giant audience he has which is genuinely consuming his content, right? You need to also understand that the people who are actually watching him, if you read the comments, right, there is like a ton of people making fun of him, right? But also there are people who are like, "Arey Ranveer bhaiya, kya sahi podcast karte ho? Mera to spiritual awakening ho raha hai yahan pe." Right? Literally, there are like so many.
Yeah.
Like wo jab Yeti ki baat karta hai, bhoot preet ki baat karta hai, jo bhi karta hai, like, "Sir, maine na IAS ka preparation kar raha hu, main raat ko na aapka ek podcast dekh ke bilkul maza aa jata hai." Yeti ke niche comment kiya usne, right? I'm like,
एक दिन एडमिनिस्ट्रेशन सर्विसेज में जाएगा और जब लोगों के गांव में रात को डाके पड़ेंगे तो बोलेंगे येटी भी हो सकता है,
येटी भी हो सकता है, राइट? बियर बाइसेप्स भैया ने बोला था, हम बड़े हो रहे थे तब हमको बोला था ये सब, यू नो, दैट्स द थिंग. सो लाइक दिस इज डैमेजिंग एंड नीड्स टू बी कॉल्ड आउट, लाइक दैट्स व्हाट आई वाज गेटिंग टू, लाइक, व्हिच इज इफ वी जस्ट डिसमिस दिस एज अ पॉडकास्ट, आई डोंट थिंक एनी मोर वी शुड डू इट, बिकॉज ऑल्सो बिकॉज डिड अ सीरीज फुल ऑफ मिनिस्टर्स of the government supported by MyGov, which is basically taxpayer money, right? Now it's gone to a level where he is now talking to people who make decisions about our lives on a day-to-day basis and letting them spew whatever they want. That needs to be called out. I mean, Rajiv Malhotra, all said and done, theek hai, bolne de usko, right? Log consume karenge. But when an elected representative is doing the same thing and he's doing the same style with them, that's propaganda.
Yeah, I think Rajiv Malhotra, like, neither of us here, just to clarify, is saying that Rajiv Malhotra does not have the right to think the things that he thinks.
Of course,
or say the things that he has said. He does. But it is also equally important to point out that A, he is incorrect, and B, this has serious damaging consequences for society because it is poisoning the minds of young people who are going to be the future of this country.
So, yeah. I am actually working on a video. It will take a while because I'm doing a video on his latest political interviews myself, right? I'm learning editing and doing it. So, time lag raha hai uske liye. To aayega, mere channel pe aayega. Like, I mean, you will put a link upar. Aayega abhi thode dino mein. So, wahan pe, this is the point I'm making also, right? You know, which is... When you have a Beer Biceps who is like in the very first interview telling people that, you know, I'm here to make politics unpolitical. I have not dealt with politics till now. I have not spoken to politicians till now, but I'm so excited about this. And he like does like a series of interviews with politicians. And he's like, mujhe na mera political awareness badhana hai, but I'm a centrist. You know, like the whole thing is that... अब ये ना मेरे टेरिटरी में आ रहा है. Like, I mean, like, I think I know a lot more about politics than he does. So I just want to like let people know that now that his political interviews have started, where people like Anand Ranganathan has started appearing on his podcast saying that Hindus are the eighth most discriminated, like ranking wise, you know, discriminated population in the country or whatever, and this guy doesn't counter it.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Singapore.
Okay.
So I would say, first of all, a presidential system is better than a parliamentary system for India, because in a presidential system, you have more stability. You vote the elected president directly, not through parliament. Because if right now, if you elect the parliament and then the parliament elects the government, the prime minister, then, you know, what you have is even a small little party has a lot of leverage, a lot of bargaining power. Because somebody who's got a few votes can decide between this coalition and that coalition, and you have a wobbly system. They don't have security for the full five-year term, and they can't make courageous actions. Whereas in a presidential system, little parties can't have too much clout, because the president is elected directly, and you have stability for the entire term. I would say that, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised. Let me make a prediction.
I will go back to the prediction part in a minute. But was he not just saying ki anyone having a say in what should happen is a problem. But now he's saying only the parliament needs to be done away with. People can vote directly for the president.
Right. And also he's talking about USA, which he just said that is having an intellectual civil war and khatam ho raha hai, whatever, right? That's what he's talking about.
He said presidential system is good. No, he said USA is not doing very well. But now he's saying the presidential system is good. If the presidential system is good, then USA must be doing better, right? That's clearly, so clearly the powers of the presidential system have failed to apply to the situation that he was referring to 5 minutes ago.
It's bizarre. Like, I don't know how he went from this to this. But you know, the thing is also that he does not understand the presidential system also, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the fact that
the list of things that he does not understand is quite long. But please go on.
But I'm saying that the fact that they have a Congress, they have a state legislature also, they have like very town legislatures also who have like their individual powers, right? So even the president can't make rules.
No, I think the presidential system that he's referring to is Singapore's.
Oh, he's talking about Singapore. He's not talking about the USA.
No,
oh,
not really. Basically going for a very simple system that can really apply in a country as small as Singapore. But it is impossible to apply to a country as large and diverse as India, right?
Also, he talks about the small political parties, right? There's a reason why we have small political parties, because of our diversity, right? Yeah. You know, like a Dalit group, basically, if they feel like they're not being represented by a majority Brahmin party, they can start their own small party, right? Mm. Or a big party, like a BSP, right? You know, then, if radical Hindus think that they're not being represented, they will form something like a Shiv Sena, right? Yeah. You know, like the Bala Sahib Thackeray ka Shiv Sena, right? And they will get representation also, right?
And so that's the whole point.
And then fight with the BSP. That's what I'm saying. You know, like the point of smaller regional parties is to basically preserve and protect the diversity that this country has. Right?
Yeah.
You're not a monolith. There are not just two sides. There are many sides. There are many communities, many languages. I don't think he understands that, or he doesn't look at it that way. Because
the old man has spent so much time in America looking at India as a whole. Because from there, India looks like one big country, right?
Mm.
When you live in India, you are aware of local concerns and smaller issues and the concerns of people who are not necessarily the national majority and stuff like that. So all these are unnecessary complications from his perspective, I think.
Yeah.
Kaun kare itna? Just Singapore ban jao overnight.
Not be surprised if Modi becomes president. Modi could become president. Retire as prime minister and become president.
Mm.
There's nothing that says you can't become president.
First of all, is that true?
What did he say? That he should retire as prime minister and become president?
He is predicting that Narendra Modi should or will become president, stop being prime minister and become president instead.
But right
now, which sounds a lot like Russia, right?
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't understand what this logic is. I mean, prime minister. So we have the most powerful, technically the person is on paper the president, right? Controller of the army. But that's literally written in the constitution that the president has to obey the council of ministers, which is headed by the prime minister, which means the prime minister is technically the most powerful person in the country. वो प्रेसिडेंट क्यों बनेगा? आई मीन लाइक रिटायर होके प्रेसिडेंट बन जाओ. Is this like a dream presidential election scenario that he's thinking about?
I think what he's saying is that there is nothing preventing someone, like he, if he stops being the prime minister, he can then become the president of India. Is there any rule preventing that from happening?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't think there is one preventing it.
So technically, Narendra Modi can become the president of India and be the nominal head of the state.
I'll have to check this, but yeah, I think that would be, I mean, it can be possible. I'm thinking, yeah, I think that can be possible technically.
Yeah, but
I haven't read anything.
What
that
powers will he have as a president? Let's continue watching and then we'll comment on this.
And as the constitution gives the president enough authority, it has never been used. The Indian constitution gives president a lot of authority, but it has not been used. A strong person who becomes president could make the presidency the center of power and center of decision making.
You mean no. No, just can't. That's what I was talking about. Like the Council of Ministers is directly, like, you know, basically the president is answerable to the Council of Ministers. The most powerful thing a president can actually do is sit on a bill and not pass it.
Sit on it for like two times. And
And then they have to pass it. But like famously, APJ Abdul Kalam sat on one of the bills and like did not pass it for a while, etc. But ultimately, I think it was cleared later. But the thing is, that is the most that a president can do. These people know, they feel like, oh, president's rule declare kar do, right? It's like the president is now ruling over the state. No, the Council of Ministers is basically ruling over the state through the president then. Right, so the central government essentially is calling all the shots in that state. The Kashmir thing, when they declared president's rule in that state, that meant that Delhi was controlling the state. That didn't mean that the president was suddenly like super powerful.
This sounds like one of those things, right? We study in history textbooks about Indus Valley Civilization, and then these guys make videos about nobody knows this, but. You know, palana. So apparently the same applies to civics textbooks also, because I don't remember much of my high school civics textbooks, even though like I know that you do a show where you invite people and you talk about civics textbook. But this is something I remember from primary school or high school, that the president doesn't have much power. The most they can do is that when a bill comes to them, they can say no. But when it comes a second time, they have to accept it, right?
Right. And also, like, I think the one way where a president can actually be powerful is if the government doesn't exist during a period, right? Which is like basically Lok Sabha, Rajya Sabha completely dissolved, no government there, etc. That is when the president becomes actually the authority that they are supposed to be, right? Which is like a backup plan, right? That is literally it. President is a backup plan. And
that's also what happened to like in Russia, right? But Putin declared himself
president for life or something. Yeah, no,
until a certain year, but then I guess
I think Xi Jinping did that. Xi Jinping did that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is happening in a lot of countries, and these guys are starting to harbor fantasies about it happening in India, and they appear to be under the impression this will be a great thing. But at this point, are you more amused by this interview or more horrified?
I'm equal, both actually. Yeah, I'm amused and also horrified.
Right now, after PM Modi's term PM, he becomes president. There are dormant rules, which can be applied, and then you can kind of shift power from the PM seat to the president seat, forever.
Yeah, you not forever during the term of the presidency.
All right.
Can you?
Hey, kya
is that possible? What dormant powers are you?
Like, I mean, I don't understand where he's pulling this out of. What?
Are you sure there are dormant powers? Like, you know, the moment they become president, they feel the energy surging through their body and like lightning bolts start coming out of their eyes.
You know, this brings me to the emergency also, right? You know, the emergency was declared by Indira Gandhi, right? You know, the president was, forget his name. But like there is this whole thing, no, like about how the emergency was declared overnight and the president had to essentially consult the constitution to see if there is a provision that allows them to do that when there is a non-emergency situation. Right. Again, I'm a little vague on this. Don't take my word for it. But again, in that video where
hold on. Can you just repeat that entire part? The president was Fakhruddin Ali Ahmed.
Fakhruddin Ali Ahmed. Yes. That's him. There is a famous sort of anecdote of Fakhruddin Ali Ahmed being woken up at night and then given a top secret document about declaring emergency, basically, and then the whole thing and how it went down. And he apparently refused first, and then he had to say yes because he spoke to Indira Gandhi, something like that, right? So again, that video has it. I'm very loose on the details of that story right now, off the top of my head. But the thing is, this doesn't, I don't know where he's getting this from, honestly. I mean, like,
I think if there is one thing I've learned about the Beer by Sirs podcast is that where they get information from is the least of their priorities. They can just make up fantasy stories and just feed it to their audience, because they frankly don't give a damn about whether they learn something true or not. An old man will come and make some random story, and this guy will say, yeah, random story plus one.
Yeah, that's true. My meter is going from amused to horrifying very fast.
It's going to get more horrifying.
So he could say, okay, I did comply with this thing that after age 75 or whatever age, I want to retire. So I'm no longer PM, but I've become president. He could do that. There's nothing that says he couldn't do that.
But that decision cannot be taken unilaterally, right? Nor would it be healthy for someone like the prime minister says, aaj se main prime minister nahi, aaj se main president hu. There has to be a process. There has to be
Process, there's an election process. No, absolutely. There is a ranked election process in parliament, right? Which is like you have to give preference, candidate preferences, right? Like all the people who are, I think there is an electoral college which makes up the MLAs and the MPs and like all across the country, and they have to vote, and there is a ranked system where you have to rank each candidate. And essentially, when the presidential elections happen, it's usually a consensus candidate, right? You know, like all parties basically come together and sort of have like one or two names, which they basically decide will be the consensus candidate, right? In this case, it was Draupadi Murmu, because a lot of people were okay with it. I mean, but that
and there
the
was
reason
some
why
happening, like different parties coming together, putting forward their own candidate. If Rajiv Malhotra has a problem with the democratic process, then I have to conclude that he's not a huge fan of the democratic process that would go into Narendra Modi becoming president. Narendra Modi can't simply say, "Aaj se main president hu."
Obviously, there's a whole process you have to go through, right? And also, like, one more thing is that the reason why people actually usually come to a consensus very quickly during a presidential elections is because they are electing a backup. Right, they all know that the Council of Ministers is basically going to take call the shots anyway. We just need a person there who acts as a backup, who passes the laws, stamps them, does all the things, is there for all the grand ceremonies, etc., etc. You know what a president does. A president also gives a speech every year, right? Which is like in the budget session, they will come to the central hall, they will give a speech. Even that speech is word to word written by the Council of Ministers. The government writes the president's speech. They are not supposed to say a different word, right? Because that speech is actually circulated to each member of parliament, and they can amend it. They can amend a speech that has been already given by the president. The reason is that the Council of Ministers is basically using that mouth to give their words.
The president is basically a rubber stamp.
Let me ask you this
before we proceed. We have seen that a number of systems were in place, and those systems have either been subverted or twisted into unrecognizable tasks. Is it possible to do that to the system of the president? Like, is it possible for a prime minister like Narendra Modi to say, to hell with the system, I am just president from now on?
I mean, there is always a possibility. Cannot deny that, right? You know, like,
but
if
it will
you
not
have
be constitutional.
Sure, but then, like, in a way, if you take over the entire courts who are supposed to basically declare whether it's constitutional or not, right? That's how dictatorships come about, right? Where all the
institutions
all the
can
three
hijack.
Pillars who are supposed to keep a check on each other so that no one exceeds their prerogative. Three being, one is legislature, executive, and judiciary. Executive is the bureaucracy, right? So even that is included. So even the bureaucrats can prevent this from happening, right? That's the whole point. Like, you know, a politician without bureaucrats is nothing, because the bureaucrats are the ones that are executing the orders of the politician, right? The bureaucrats without the judiciary is also nothing, because judiciary is the one keeping a watch on both the politicians and the executive, right? Meanwhile, the executive is also basically trying to make sure that all the orders passed by both sides are happening at the same time, right? Justice is delivered, and, like, for example, police is executive. Right? Police is the one that is ensuring justice happens. The courts are the ones directing in a particular case that justice should happen here. Police are the ones who are supposed to execute it, right? So, like, all these branches are telling each other what to do and keeping a sort of a watch on each other, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you want
to system of checks and balances.
Yeah, if you want to completely crush that system and make it like unilateral, right? Which is then the whole presidential thing that Rajiv Masand is, Malhotra is talking about. Malhotra ji is talking about. Yeah, in essence, he's basically saying ki checks and balances hone hi nahi chahiye. Ek aadmi ko de do sab kuch.
Ek aadmi ko de do sara power, because my NRI has does not understand complexity.
Yeah, exactly.
And as president, you have your term secure. You cannot be through no confidence motion kicked out and all that. And you can run the country. You can make a lot of policies. So this that's a more stable system. You can elect the right guy and then you let him be there for a while. You don't kick him out and worry about whether he's coming back in 2024 or not. You just leave him there for 10, 20 years. Because you need to set this country right. It's a 100-year project, because we've been ruined, colonized for 1,200 years. Colonization is not just British, it's also Islamic colonization.
He's beginning to get to his real point. But is it possible to, like, we already discussed this, but it's not possible for someone to become president from prime minister unilaterally. That's one thing. Second,
it is technically possible, but you will have to do a lot of unconstitutional shit.
Twisting things.
Institutions.
So he doesn't say that, right? He says the constitution gives the president a lot of power. So he's trying to at least make it appear as if this can happen constitutionally, but it can't.
It has to go through checks and balances.
So after that, you just make someone president and the president makes a lot of policies for 20 years.
Oh yeah, but basically wahi bol raha hai na ki agar ye aadmi gyani aadmi pahunch gaya udhar tak and nobody's opposing him and he has basically no accountability is what he's saying. 20 saal ke liye he can do whatever the hell he wants. Then it's a more stable system. Of course, it's a more stable system. Right? But it's not the right system. like stability and what is correct is two different things.
If a government remains in power for 50 years, right?
Yeah.
The BJP is fond of pointing out the Congress was in power for
Congress
50 years.
Congress was in power for
that was stable, right?
Yeah.
It was a stable government. But was it good according to you? No, you guys are the ones who whine about it all the time.
And you know, that's the thing, you know, it's so bizarre when the argument just flips so suddenly, right? You know, like where, like for example, the Indira Gandhi emergency was terrible, right? You know, like you read accounts of how journalists were treated, how the BJP was treated, how the leaders that were there during this
the BJP leaders who rose to prominence because specifically they were opposed to the emergency, including...
They were all student leaders back then, right?
Yeah.
And they were like basically Kanhaiya Kumar now, right? They essentially are protesting in DU, they were protesting in JNU, they were protesting against the dictatorship of Indira Gandhi, etc., right? Because it was an emergency, right? The media was completely controlled. There was complete control over information, all the things, right? It was a terrible time. You know, like there are these middle class Brahmin people who are like, "Arey, train to time pe aati thi
us time pe aati thi kyunki unko train ke alawa kisi aur cheez ke sath deal nahi karna padta tha."
Exactly. They are like, "Arey, sab stable tha, train to time pe aati thi." That's why
train is the barometer to reality.
Like, kya baat kar rahe ho yaar? Like, seriously.
These guys travel to a country and they receive news about whether country is doing well economically. Is there oppression or all?
Oh.
Wait, let me go to the railway station and find out.
It's
another controversial statement. But Islam also colonized us. They put in a new language, they put in new ways of thinking, new religion, new loyalty to the Middle East countries, not to our, this is not their bhumi, this is not their soil. So we have been colonized for 1200 years. And to counter that, we'll need a century. We need this whole century to recover ourselves. And that requires leaders who are strong and stable long term.
Okay.
So the Mughals were not actually causing us to have allegiance to outside nations. The Mughals settled here. They had kids here. Their kids became kings. And you can have different opinions about kingship as good or bad, etc. But the Mughals were definitely an Indian empire. They were in an Indian Islamic empire.
And also like the whole fact about, oh, humko colonized kiya. They colonized you using the same system that you're advocating for.
Yeah.
They were essentially following like the feudal dictatorial systems that you are so like, oh, ek aadmi ko power de do.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Did.
Yeah.
That, I mean, like literally the reason why like all these, you know, like atrocities that people talk about, right? I was just watching another Beer Biceps video for my thing about someone who I think Chawda,
Abhijit Chawda.
Abhijit Chawda, who was, who keeps saying that so Khilji came in and burnt like the Takshashila University ki library or something. And therefore, all our knowledge of the entire subcontinent was lost.
Quantum physics, yeah.
Yeah, and therefore, like basically when the British came after that and we were telling them that, oh, look, this is our history, they were like, written record dikhao. And therefore, because there is no written record, therefore, they said, oh, this is mythology, which is Ramayana and Mahabharata. So now we can't no longer call this history anymore because we don't have written record because Khilji burnt the entire thing, apparently. Again, these people, A, don't understand that India was not a thing before. Like, I mean, like, before the British actually, through anger, like, literally by pissing a lot of people off across the subcontinent, brought us together as a united front against them, right? That is why India is also, like,
yeah, exists. The political unit that we know as India in this day and age is the result of the political systems that came into being at the time of the British occupation.
Absolutely. Before that,
by the way, like what this guy is saying about, you know, people who came from outside and imposed an external system applies very well to the British. They imposed the system for profit and then they left. It does not apply that much to the Mughals.
Also, the Mughals, right? If you look at the Mughal rule, where it was cow-built, no, mostly. And like Niche, if you talk at Odisha, right?
Yeah,
Odisha
had
a completely different set of Kalinga kings, right? Yeah. You know,
our main problem was Marathas.
Yeah, your problem was Marathas. That's true. And Marathas ka problem were you guys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Tamil kings were there separately, right? There's literally evidence in the Angkor Wat of, from Odisha and all these areas, how religion traveled, Hinduism traveled to Cambodia, right? And there were like temples built in the name of Hindu kings, but they were very different interpretations that what we know right now, right? There is a Ramayana ka whole, you know, fresco made in Angkor Wat, very ancient Angkor one, Wat. Right? And Mahabharata as well. But what they portray is completely different because their interpretation must be different. Yeah. But the point is, that they, when they talk about, oh, India ko colonize kiya tha, right? The whole point is that there were very, very separate kingdoms, which were, one giant kingdom was here, one was in the coast, one was here. We were not united. We were fighting against each other. Like those kings were also fighting against each other, trying to expand their territory. So it's like they had their own little countries also.
Before I let you move forward, I want you to address all the people who are left-leaning, who are listening to this podcast and are about to switch off because they have categorized you as right-leaning.
Hello.
So, I don't believe in left or right.
Hello.
I believe that you have to look
at
the logic.
He doesn't believe in left or right.
I'm left-leaning on some issues, right-leaning on other issues. I believe in free enterprise, which the right-leaning people are supposed to be. But I'm very liberal in terms of rights of human beings. I want everybody to have rights. I want to end exploitation.
Apparently, those rights don't extend to the right to vote or to decide what happens in the system of the country. But on every other front, he's very right-leaning. Sorry,
left-leaning. Absolutely. All people need to have rights. all people need to have rights, but some people are stupid and they deserve rest. They don't know what is good for them. The smart people deserve more rights than the. But I am okay with all people having rights.
I don't want oligarchy. I certainly don't want ultra rich. I don't want concentration of wealth, concentration of power. So in those senses, I'm not right wing.
What were you saying all this while? Concentration of power has been the theme of this entire conversation.
Concentration of wealth is what he's talking about now, basically. That is the interconnected, no? do you understand how it's interconnected? Wealth,
he also
power?
Said concentration of power. No, the conversation starts with, let us concentrate all power in one man. And then he says, I'm not in favor of concentration of power. What the duck were you talking about all this while?
Seriously,
I think it's very amusing that... In most of these right-wing conversations, obviously, they will not say that they're the left, but they will say that we are close to the center. The right likes to pretend that it is close to the center when the goal is to indoctrinate young minds, which may not necessarily be right-wing. So they will think, okay, I'm not going to the right-wing, I'm thinking like a centrist. And then they arrive at the center, and after some time, the carpet gets pulled out from under their feet and turns out they're on the right.
Yeah. And also, like, the whole thing about free market, right? The thing I always qualify with is, I'm okay with free enterprise and free market, okay? Mm. But I also understand there needs to be regulation, right? I mean, like, if you let companies do whatever the hell they want all the time, it is not good for us. Like, if profit is the sore motive of enterprise, and that is what is causing innovation, that is not good for us. Right? You know, there are certain things which need to be also done out of humanitarian welfare needs, right? Which is like education, public utility, like health education. There are people from the US who come to India to get their, like healthcare done, right?
Yeah.
Like the medical tourism, everybody knows.
Medical tourism,
right?
Yeah.
It's cheaper here. The reason why it's cheaper here is because we are not letting it completely become like a free market. Right, we still have government hospitals.
It's subsidized. It's subsidized to a great degree for many categories of people. Yeah.
Plus, generic drugs are allowed to exist here.
Oh yeah, right? There was this legendary Supreme Court judgment some years ago where American pharmaceutical companies were like, "You can't decide the price of our goods," and the Supreme Court said, "Yeah, sure, but we are going to allow our people to copy your stuff because medicines are not a consumer good.
Yeah,
medicines are important so that people can survive."
Yeah. Oh my god, dude. What was that?
Were you prepared for this when I said, "Hey guys, let's do a reaction video."
I wasn't actually. I didn't know what you were bringing in. And the thing is, I've been doing research on this fellow as well, right? And I'm trying to see, like, so the thing I'm trying to make is not exactly about him, but to make a point about who he is, I am trying to see ki kya karta hai aadmi, kidhar hai, whatever, right? Because I'm not a big consumer of his fun content, right? I know clips like these exist, right? Which is, like, he also has, like, clips with, like, again, like, people like Chawda and whatever.
The entire range of loonies. Every single... Hindu Khatre Mein Hai Brigade face on social media, he has had as a guest, including conspiracy theorists like Praveen Mohan.
We have to understand who his audience is, right? You know, his audience is not people like us. I doubt we watch any of us or any of my friends.
His audience is A, younger, and B, more confused about
more
who
confused.
They want to be in life. So they're being targeted at a young age by everyone
who finds
this platform useful.
For example, right, you know, like one person I was talking to was saying that his audience are fence sitters, which is like basically centrist.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'm saying otherwise. I'm saying his audience are people who don't even know a fence exists. They don't even know there are two sides.
Wouldn't that count as fence sitting?
No, but like he shows them the fence, not first. Like he's the one who is first showing them the fence, right? And
the fence thing
sitters.
The thing is not the fence. It is... quite deep in right-wing territory.
But you do realize that he always gets enough kooky people, apparently, to essentially also like try to balance it out. Because that's what he keeps saying, right? Or a balance rehna chahiye. Right?
Yeah,
now, in this very clip, he's invited a person who is saying that I'm very balanced. When in reality, he's not, right? But the audience is like, "Are kya mast balanced aadmi laaye?" बोल रहा है कि लेफ्ट विंग भी है राइट विंग भी है तो फिर सो सी दैट्स व्हाट इज हैपनिंग राइट हिज ऑडियंस इज कमिंग इनटू दिस पॉडकास्ट जस्ट लाइक टू वॉच एंड इट्स रणवीर अलाहाबादिया एंड हिज गेस्ट हु आर शोइंग देम कि अच्छा वो देख वो फेंस है उधर उस पे बैठना है तुझे राइट एंड ये वो साइड है और वो साइड है एंड दिस इज हाउ आवर पर्सपेक्टिव्स आर अबाउट द साइड एक साइड ने यू नो पूरा डिस्ट्रॉय कर दिया इंडिया का कल्चर राइट एंड दे आर द एनिमीज एंड द अदर साइड इज कि ओ सब सब अच्छा है एंड दे शुड रूल फॉर 20 इयर्स राइट एंड दैट दे विल फिक्स एवरीथिंग
दिस गाइस हैव मेड अ फेक फेंस राइट इट लुक्स लाइक अ फेंस इट बिहेव्स लाइक अ फेंस इट इज डीप इनसाइड राइट विंग टेरिटरी एंड ही इज पॉइंटिंग एट दैट फेंस ही इज सिटिंग एट इट एंड ही इज पॉइंटिंग एट इट एंड टेलिंग पीपल Come be here and you will be in the middle. And the people who don't know where right is, where left is, what is, how the spectrum is, they will go sit on that fence thinking that they're centrists when they will actually not be centrists. They will be right wingers.
No, and also like his logic is very clear, right? And he says it like openly also, right? Why he does this, why Beer Biceps does this, right? There is a podcast he went to recently where they asked him, ki, are ye bhut prit yeti wale kahani aap karte ho, like you... Whatever. So he's like, you know, पहले ना मैं सोचता था कि मैं बस बिजनेस के पॉडकास्ट करूंगा you know, like, मुझे आता है business, मैं understand business, so I'll do that. But then, you know, what happened is like, मेरे ना अंदर एक बच्चा है जो बाहर आया और बोला कि मैं भूत प्रेत की बात करूंगा और फिर व्यूज बढ़ने लगे नाउ एवरीथिंग आई से एंड डू इज फॉर व्यूज एंड कॉन्टेंट ओके और ये चल रहा है तो मैं चलाऊंगा सी दैट्स द लॉजिक ही इज गोइंग बाय ही इज नॉट इवन इंटरेस्टेड इन what is happening to people what is the effect that his podcasts are having on people whether they know offense whether they understand what politics is whether they even understand what a president does right so he's basically just ek mere ko to content chahiye na log outrage karenge ya fir log bolenge aur ye to kya mast aadmi hai sahi bola whatever yeah. he's getting the praise ki aur tu aadmi leke aaya mast हमारे पास स्पिरिचुअल अवेकनिंग हो गया मेरा अब तो मैं आईएएस की पढ़ाई करके सो जाएगा जो फक ऑफ मैन लाइक आई मीन क्या चल रहा है सीरियसली
बट या गुड फन आई मीन नॉट गुड फन काइंड ऑफ अ हॉरिफाइंग इवनिंग स्पेंट वाचिंग कंप्लीट गार्बेज फ्रॉम एन अंकल हु प्रोबेबली बिलोंग्स बाय द वे आई डोंट अंडर एस्टिमेट राजीव मल्होत्रा एबिलिटी टू मेक समवन प्रेसिडेंट इट ही डिड इट फॉर नित्यानंद राइट
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like
if that is the format, this is going to follow. Like this guy is going to leave and start an island nation somewhere. I'm completely in favor.
Didn't Rajiv Malhotra? Isn't he the person who started a company with Nityanand to like take all your wealth and give it to you in the next life?
There is a video and they were talking about. I don't even know if they were serious about it, if it was half joking. But he has, in all seriousness, supported other things which are quite problematic, like. Superstitious practices like third eye awakening and there's this amusing video where a bunch of children at some ashram put a blindfold around their eye. The blindfold is like this, right? And apparently they can see through it like this way and this way. So he writes something on a paper and he says, can you read it? And the child takes it and holds it like this and then reads it and this guy is blown away. He's blown away. I'll share that video with you and you'll find out. And it's been debunked over and over again. This is comparable to, have you seen Beer Biceps ka episode where someone pulls a Rudraksh out of thin air and he's like, ye kaise ho gaya? So cool. Thank you, Meghnath, for doing this. I hope we can do this again sometime. I don't even know if this video is going to get, going to be allowed to stay on YouTube. But we will try it. We will put it out and we'll see what happens. Meghnath, your video is about what?
It's basically going to be about... Beer Biceps. Matlab, not exactly Beer Biceps, but the interviews.
It's focusing on Beer Biceps in general or on a specific conversation?
It's basically focusing on a series of interviews that he's doing, which is the minister interviews, right? Specifically. Okay. And I'm talking mostly about the minister and their work. Not really Beer Biceps, but also like this, right? Which is what I'm talking about. The what is the message that is going to the audience and how we need to really think about this more critically before it gets out of hand.
Thank you, Meghnath, for doing this. Thank you, sir. And everyone who's been watching, please subscribe to the channel if you haven't. I make content about skepticism and Indian atheism and stuff like that. And we talk about other things also, but primarily that is what this channel is about. Thank you for watching. Bye-bye.